Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
To call the resurrection of Jesus unexpected is a huge understatement. It was way more than unexpected. It was unthought of, impossible, beyond the wildest imaginations of the women and the disciples. It couldn't happen, but it did happen. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. They expected to find the body, and they wanted to finish the work of anointing that they had begun on Friday evening. What they found instead surprised them. They found an angel of the Lord. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. Matthew tells us that there was a great earthquake and the angel descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. The guards, meanwhile, trembled and fled in fear. They became like dead men. Angels strike fear into the hearts of God's enemies, but angels bring great joy and comfort to God's people. Angels appear in connection with major events, the announcement of the birth of a son to Mary. At Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, they ministered to him and attended him in his temptation in the wilderness and again in the Garden of Gethsemane. And now an angel is at his tomb. Don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, for he has risen as he said. Come and see the place where they laid him. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. And so the women go with this impossible, unexpected, beyond their wildest imaginations news. And on the way, Jesus met them. He said, "Greetings. Rejoice." The women saw the Lord. Not a vision of the Lord, not a hallucination of the Lord, but the Lord himself, alive, flesh and blood alive, resurrected body alive, unexpectedly alive, never to die again, alive. They were used to a world, this world, in which death has the last word. The dead remained dead. And that was that. Sorrow was a normal part of life. Parents died, and friends died, and neighbors, and sometimes even babies. The number of the dead never got smaller, it only got larger. And then regular life, normal life, also included sickness and disability and poverty and loneliness and broken families, not to mention everyday aches and pains. It included earthquakes and floods, and famines, and wars, and that one which until recently we had forgotten, pestilence. It included depression and addiction and mental illness and unemployment, and I'm sure that list could be multiplied many times over with examples from your lives and mine and the lives of those we love. Normal life was a fallen world, bodies of death, a groaning creation. And yet what we think of as normal really is abnormal. We see the world only as it is now, not as it was and not as it will be. After all, this is God's world. By his word, he created it, and he took great care and great deliberation with it. He gave it order and harmony. He set everything in motion, the celestial bodies and plants and animals, and man as the crown. And he gave it life, and the whole of it was his delight and his joy. Until sin, through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death entered through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And that's why we think of all of this as normal now. This sin, this death, and all the rest of it, even this coronavirus, it's beginning to feel all too normal to us. These things spread from Adam to us, and then from Eden right here to central Massachusetts, like a genetic disorder or a communicable disease. This infection has colored the way we see the world. It's ruined not only our lives, but also our relationship with God. And we don't even know that we should expect something different. But we should. And here's why. Because God refused to give up his creation. Because God refused to let sin and death and the devil keep what they'd ruined or hold that final word. And again, God does the unexpected and the impossible. He brings life out of death. From first to last, Scripture is the story of God destroying death and doing life. The flood, the Exodus, the promises of new creation, Daniel in the lion's den, and his three friends in the fiery furnace, each of these a hint, an anticipation, a foretaste of the resurrection to come. And now the great unexpected has happened. Now the tomb is empty. Now the women have seen the Lord. Now Christ is risen from the dead. Creation freed from its bondage, sin forgiven, death destroyed, the devil defeated. New life present in the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Life for all the world. And this new life, this resurrection, is spread from Christ in the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit through your baptism. This new life is transferred through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and it remakes you, it remakes me from the inside out, so that you also are a new creation in Christ. The world isn't yet what it will be, but what it will be is already seen in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You are not yet what you will be, but what you will be is seen in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus rose from the dead, and the world has never been the same, and you will never be the same either. Resurrection, it's the new normal. You can expect it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.